You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Good morning and welcome to Makers Church Online. If you're new with us, welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us. My name is Derek and I serve here as a lead pastor. And I just wanted to take a moment and welcome all of you. If you've been here for a long time or for a short amount of time, we consider you part of Makers family. And we just want to say we miss you dearly. We cannot wait to see you all very soon. I want to invite all of you to our Makers Live gathering on December 6th at 9 a.m. It'll be in Morley Field, and if you joined us in November, it's in the same place that we met last time. But this time, our amazing kids team will be providing programming for all the kids. And we're excited to offer this for all of our families, and we hope that you can make it out as we kick off the Christmas season together. Now, COVID has been a really challenging time, and we are committing to a new rhythm as a church that we'll be able to stick to no matter what tier we are in regarding restrictions. First, Church Online will continue every Sunday. If you're joining us from home or from afar, we're so glad that you're able to join us in this way, and we're going to keep this going as long as we possibly can, hopefully forever. Second, the first Sunday of the month will be Makers Live. What that means is it'll be an in-person gathering somewhere. If it's purple tier, it'll be outdoors in the park, or if we're back in red, it'll be here in our building. And it will be live streamed to you at home, so you'll be able to join us in that live experience. And then every other Sunday beyond that of the month, other than the first Sunday, we'll be hosting our watch parties that will be either outdoors or here at the church, depending on the tier that we're in. And you can find more information about where we're meeting and when we're meeting online. I'd love for you to begin to mark your calendars for the first Sunday of every month. That is the time where we're going to be continuing to commit to being together in some form or fashion, in the flesh, in person, and we are really looking forward to each one of those gatherings for the foreseeable future. Today, we are continuing our series called Cannot Be Shaken, where we've been looking at the unshakable mission, beliefs, and values that we hold as a church. And we believe that these are not just organizational or institutional values, but they should be personal values for each one of us. We believe that this is what Jesus is calling us into as we live out being the church together. Our mission at Makers Church is to make on earth as it is in heaven, by developing and commissioning followers of Jesus Christ to love God and to love others. And we have spent several weeks walking through our core beliefs and how those tie into our values. And today we're going to continue looking at some of our values. Today, we'll be talking about our value that says we risk boldly. We believe that Jesus often calls us into the unknown, and we are not afraid to fail, and we value the wisdom gained when we trust and follow him. Now, I know that I get pinned all the time as being the adventure seeker and the risk taker. I work as a firefighter, and I love adventure. I ride dirt bikes and get into any sort of trouble that I can get myself into, but I can assure you that it's not my personal preference for living on the edge that made us choose this as a value. Rather, it's the radical and bold life of Jesus and the examples that we find in the scriptures that lead us to believe this truly matters. I love Proverbs 28:1. It says that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Well, we believe that our God is calling us to be bold in our faith. But I know what you might be thinking. Like, what do risk and boldness have in common with faith? So many times we run to God or we choose faith to avoid risk and discomfort. We need God to be our safety and our refuge, our ever-present help in time of trouble. We take great rest in the idea that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And all of those things are absolutely true. And there's nothing wrong with comfort. It says the Spirit of God is the Comforter, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And those are all great, but we cannot make comfort and safety our goal. See, for many of you, church is this predictable, comfortable, safe place to be. But I think it's crazy that we think that faith could be the elimination of risk rather than the promise of it. The idea that our faith would be free of ambiguity or uncertainty is simply not true. How in the world can we think that faith is the opposite of ambiguity or uncertainty or mystery, especially in the year 2020? As God has shown us that our faith will be tested and that we will be the kind of people who will move boldly into the uncertainty and into the unknown. See, I believe that faith is intimately connected to risk. In the scriptures, those who lived by faith took huge risks with their lives. I think the problem that we run into is the narrative going on all around us is that if you have any problems, then all you need is more faith. We think that faith is a problem solver or the problem eliminator. And it simply couldn't be further from the truth. We somehow get into this place in our minds where we think and we even tell each other, if you're sick, you just need more faith and you'll be healthy. Or if you're poor, you just need more faith and you'll be wealthy. Or if you're not getting promoted at work, you just need more faith and you'll get the job. Or you're not finding your wife or your husband, so you need more faith. You just need to believe more. Almost like this form of like spiritual constipation. Like, I believe, I believe, I believe. And it just never comes out right. Why is it that somehow our talk about God seems to be the promise of a life without risk rather than a life filled with risk? There's a difference between risk-taking and thrill-seeking. See, thrill and risk are different. Thrill-seeking, it's a moment of euphoria or adrenaline or exhilaration just for a moment's pleasure, to feel like you're alive. But risk-taking, it's more profound. It's not about a moment. It's about a momentum for life. See, thrill-seeking, it can be beneficial. It can be a great tool in showing us and making us aware of our own humanity and how quickly death could come our way. As much as I love adventure and I love the thrill of seeking that kind of euphoria, I never ended up taking on the career that I thought and wanted to as a kid. I always wanted to be a fighter pilot, and instead I became a firefighter. But I watched Top Gun when I was a kid, and all I wanted to do was be Maverick. And there's still this little piece of me that just longs to fly in the air, and I've always wanted to get my pilot's license. And so one year, my beautiful and amazing wife, Laurel, surprised me with a birthday gift, and it was a pilot's lesson. And it was the introductory lesson to what it might be like to go to pilot school. And I remember showing up to the lesson. She surprised me with it. And I got into this tiny little airplane. And I remember the pilot fired it up. And it sounded like a lawnmower engine. It was like just one engine, like no other engines in case of failure. And it just sounded like my lawnmower. And I was like, I can't believe this thing is going to carry us into the air, this tiny little tin can that we were in. And I've flown in all sorts of different airplanes, but for whatever reason, this one kind of sketched me out a little bit. And we get into the air, and he's taking me through the final test of what the pilots have to pass. And all of a sudden, we just start climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing until the motor just turns off. And I remember my stomach just dropping and thinking, we are not going to make it home. What if this motor doesn't fire back up. And that was that like come to Jesus moment, face my death moment where I thought like this might be the end of us. And as much as I love thrill seeking and as much as I love adventure, this was a moment for me that was like, I'm not quite sure about this. I really need this motor to start back up. And after several moments of silence, the motor kicked back in. And it just reminded me of this truth that we can spend so much time trying to add moments to our lives, and we can go seek the thrill. Even sometimes it might scare us to death. But we can try to add these moments to our lives instead of trying to add life to our moments. See, so often we spend way too much energy trying to extend our lives instead of maximizing our lives. If you refuse risk, you are essentially choosing not to live. I'm not talking about the kind of risk where you go in the air and turn the motor off, but the kind of risk that God might be calling us into. See, our faith is not a safe, comfortable faith. We can spend so much time trying to avoid pain, to play it safe, to stay comfortable, but Jesus is always saying the opposite. He's saying to get up, to rise up, to walk, to seek and you'll find, to ask and it will be given, to open your eyes, to not be afraid, to move, to act, to do. God will always lead us out of our comfort zone. I love what the scriptures say in 2 Corinthians 3:12. It says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. See, our hope, it causes us to be bold, to risk greatly. I want to look at a story that will help us understand what it means to risk boldly. Acts 3, verses 1 through 10 says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, and he began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. If you don't know the context of this passage, you'll miss it. If you read the Gospels, the story that tells the life of Jesus, or have heard about the story of Jesus, you know that Jesus went around healing people. That's kind of part of what he did. And that might make sense because Jesus is God and God can do that kind of thing. But this story, it takes place in a much different context. Jesus has just died and risen and then ascended. He had left the building. He had left his disciples. And he had ascended into heaven. And one of the most bold moves that God ever made in this moment was to choose to do his best work through us, his church. But one of the boldest things Jesus did was start the church. And before that, one of the boldest things God ever did, the greatest risk God ever took, was to choose to work through his people. And this moment, this is one of those moments where we get to see God at work through people. See, these disciples are no longer with Jesus. They're no longer there to watch what Jesus did. but instead they are now entrusted to do what Jesus did. And now they're at this moment. Will it actually work? Are the words of Jesus true? Has he actually given us the power to continue to do his work? Do we have what it takes? I can't imagine what was going through their mind. And the level of risk and boldness that this act required was tremendous. Well, what if it didn't work? Well, what if it makes us look silly? Or even worse, what if it degrades the name of Jesus? And yet, they take the bold risk. They reach down to the man. And they grab him by the hand and they pull him up and they say, walk. Did they actually have the power? Did they know that by them saying in the name of Jesus, that they would be able to produce a miracle? They had never done it before. This is the first miracle that the disciples performed. They had never done it before. They did not know if the power of Jesus was actually going to work through them. And yet they risked greatly, not for themselves, but for the benefit of someone else. And this is what Jesus calls us to do. The greatest risk that they took in this moment was to include someone that did not belong. He had been excluded from belonging because he was handicapped. He had been excluded from belonging. He had been thrown out and made to beg at the gates. And instead, they reached down and they welcomed him in. He was an outcast, unwelcomed in their space. And they went out of their way not only to heal him through the miracle, but to include him through a friendship. It says that he went dancing into the temple courts. They weren't afraid of being associated with him. They included him. And I wonder, for us, who is the riskiest person that you can include in your life? Who's the riskiest person that you can include in your life? And we must do the same. We must take a risk on people, to believe in people when they don't deserve it, to trust people when they haven't earned it. And that's one of the things that I love the most about this church and the history, the rich history that we have together as a church. There's been so many people that have been risked for. And there are so many of you who have taken risks on each other. And I love the story of redemption and of healing and of hope that comes when we include others who otherwise would not be included. I think perhaps this is one of the greatest risks that God is asking us to take as individuals and as a church. Now I want to continue on in this story and show you what happens next. Acts 4, 5 through 13 says, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. And these leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until the morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, we are being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man. Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the power of the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, where it says, "The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which he must be saved." And the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. It says they were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. Do you see what's happening in this story? That the disciples, that these followers of Jesus were so compelled by the love of God to reach down and include somebody into their friend circle, to include them into their group, and to heal them by the power of the name of Jesus. But they went beyond that. They also declared with their mouth how they went about doing that. As they were being questioned, as they were being put on trial, they were bold in their faith by speaking clearly about whose power they were able to do this in. And we must not confuse God's power with our own. On our own, we are unable to risk boldly. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God's empowerment, we can risk greatly, and our faith can be shaped tremendously. And then they go on and they unashamedly speak and preach the gospel again. I think sometimes we miss the fact that the riskiest and boldest thing that we can do is share the gospel, to tell the truth about who Jesus is and about what he's done in your own life. And I wonder today, are you even aware? Are you paying attention to what God is doing in your life? What would happen if we took an assessment, took an account of all that God is doing even right now, and we began to tell others about it? I believe that's the riskiest and boldest thing that we can do, and the very thing that Jesus is compelling us to do. Who will you share the gospel with? Who will you tell the truth about what God has done in your life? 2 Corinthians 3:12 says, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold." See, I believe that we cannot live the life that God has planned for us, that God dreams for us, without stepping boldly and risking boldly for others. But perhaps the first risk that you can take is to trust Jesus with your life. That is the riskiest and boldest move that we can ever take. And if you're watching this morning and you've already done that, God is inviting you into a life of risk and of bold living and loving. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus with your life, this is the risk I'm inviting you to today. This is the bold move. And if you're here today and you're curious, or you've made your mind up and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to commit your life to him, you want to take that risk, we would love to walk alongside of you to do that. The very best way to let us know is to pull out your phone and text "new follower" to 97000. And what will happen is I'll reach out to you and begin a conversation to help you understand what it means to follow Jesus with your life. And I would love to journey with you as you pursue Jesus with your life. Now I want to close with this. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." That's my prayer for us, that we would come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Would you pray with me? Yeah, we thank you, Lord, that you are indeed our great comforter, God, that you can bring peace that passes all understanding, God, that you are the very one, God, who is the Prince of Peace. But God, we know, Lord, that in order for us to grow, in order for us to be used by you, God, that you want to take us into some uncharted territory, that you want to lead us into the unknown. And God, that requires a life of faith, God, which manifests itself in risking boldly. And so God, we pray for the courage to risk boldly. We pray for your power, Lord, that would allow us to include others, to share your gospel, and to ultimately pursue you with our lives. So God, I pray that every single one of us listening now, God, that we would approach your throne, that we would come to you confidently with boldness, God, to receive your mercy and your love, so that we can then be your hands and feet in this world. God, we thank you that you've chosen to do your best work in us and through us. And we pray, Jesus, that we as Makers Church would never stop risking boldly. God, may that be true of every single one of us. Lead us into the unknown. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.